you, Joyland. God bless. Good morning. I want to thank Tom again for really sticking his neck out and allowing me to come up here 2 weeks in a row. But you can take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And you may want to just put a marker in there because we're going to be going through this chapter, but we are going to be going to some associated scriptures as we do so. But we'll keep coming back to this. And in Luke 24, we have a series of events that occurred following the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which are very enlightening for us. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The angels reminded them of something that Jesus had told them previously that obviously they had forgotten. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 30. The angel had said, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee? Here in Mark chapter 9, verse 30, it says, And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. You know, there are three distinct times when this topic comes up. One is when they're in Caesarea Philippi, here when they're in Galilee, another time with the apostles when they're going into Jerusalem right before that, where he brings this point is very clearly brought up in the scriptures regarding this specific thing that he told them. Now, there are other times when it's mentioned as well, but those three are very distinctly pointed out. And verse 32 says, But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. So he told them of this, but it says they were ignorant of. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Earlier, if you look up in verse 9 of this same chapter, this is following the event of the transformation, or transfiguration as we call it, when Jesus appeared and they saw a vision of him with Elijah and Moses, and Peter, James, and John witnessed this. And in verse 9 it says, And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. That whole thing just sort of puzzled them, okay? And that's why down in verse 32 it says they understood not the saying and were afraid to ask him. I want to look at a couple parallel records with this in Matthew 17, because each one gives us a little more information regarding what was said and their reaction to what was said. In Matthew 17, verse 22, it says, And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. So the fact of him speaking about this, what was going to transpire, made them very sad when he spoke of it. Not only were they somewhat confused regarding this event, it also brought sorrow to them when he brought it up. In Luke chapter 9, the other same record, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9 and in verse 43, it says, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying." It's interesting, just for those of you that I don't know very much Greek, but it's interesting, in verse 44, the word sayings is the word logos. It says, let these sayings, these logos. Logos is a word that focuses not so much on the words spoken, but on the content, the message that's being given. Tom talked about this when he taught those four Sundays on doctrine. You know, it's the whole content, and that's what Jesus was telling them. Let this whole matter sink down into your ears, because the Son of Man is going to be delivered, and he's going to, you know, the things that it says. But in verse 45 it says, but they understood not the sayings. The words didn't register with them. You know, they weren't getting those words in light of the whole picture of what was transpiring here. Okay? And once again it says, it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Part of that may have been the first time that Jesus brought this up. Look at Matthew 16. Should have hit this when we were in Matthew, but you can turn the pages. Matthew 16. The first time Jesus brought up this topic very specifically with them, outside of parables and things that he had already told them, Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So Peter's initial response to Jesus telling them what was going to transpire was, Peter thought, no, Lord, this certainly is not going to happen. And you might remember Jesus' response in verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." What Jesus was telling them was exactly what the Scriptures declared was going to need to transpire. And Peter's initial response to Jesus speaking of those things was, no, Jesus, this is not the way it's going to be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He had enough challenges without those of his own followers bringing up these things that went against the Word of God. So look back in Luke chapter 24. It was those matters that the angels reminded those who came to the sepulcher of. Verse 6 again of Luke 24. The two men that stood by in the shining garments said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And fortunately, in verse 8, those that were there, and they remembered his words. They remembered him saying that to them. Verse 9, "And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James." There's my verse for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. We have Mary, the mother of James, "and other women that were with them." See, I held off on saying that at the beginning so I could bring that up at this time, backed by Scripture. "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." Verse 11, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." So Mary Magdalene and the others that were with her who had been at the sepulcher, who had seen these angels and who had the angels remind them of the things that Jesus told them and that he was not there, he is risen. They went back and told the 11, and their response was, it just sounded like nonsense to them when they heard these things. So it says, and they believed them not. Verse 12, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So at least when the women came back and conveyed this information to him, Peter decided, I'm going to go check this out myself. So he got up and he went to the sepulchre. Now look at John chapter 20. John 20 relates this event to us. And once again gives us some added information regarding this. John chapter 20 and in verse 3, it says, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. So Peter and this other disciple, they run there. The other disciple outruns Peter. He stoops down and looks in. Peter gets there. He just jumps right in and goes in, and they both witness the same thing. Verse 7 says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So it doesn't tell us Peter's reaction. However, this other disciple, when he got into the sepulchre and saw what transpired, he believed. It doesn't tell us what Peter's reaction was at that point when it comes to the matter of believing. It did, but then in verse 9, it's very interesting. It says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that said he must rise again from the dead. I have another version of this, which I like the reading a little better. It says, for they had not previously understood the scripture which said that he must rise from the dead. You know, they hadn't made the connection previously regarding the things that Jesus had told them with the scripture. With the scripture, that the scriptures had actually foretold of this. Had they made that association, Peter may not have reproved Jesus when he first brought up this matter. You know, and told him, oh no, Lord, these things aren't going to happen to you. But they, at this point, the association was made that, oh, the scripture. Okay? Look back in Luke 24. Oh, nope, sorry, stay there. Please turn back. I want to read you a couple other things before we go there because it's going to lead into the next thing that we read in Luke 24. So, verse 9 once again says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. So Mary was there as well, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. So once Peter and this other disciple left, Mary's there, and Mary looks in. This wasn't there previously when Peter and the other disciple was there, but now Mary looks in and she sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. So Mary hung around and she looks in and there's two angels sitting there, one at the feet and one at the head where Jesus' body previously has been. And she inquires of them where the body is. She turns around and sees a man who she perceives to be the gardener, and it says she doesn't recognize him. And then he asks her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And she relates to him who she, and all he has to do is say her name. And she realizes, oh my gosh, it's him. That must have been a moment. But she didn't recognize him. Now look at Mark 16, and then we'll go back to Luke. Because Mark gives us a basic rundown of some of these events that we're seeing in Luke and the order in which they come. Mark 16, and in verse 9, Mark 16:9 says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." Verse 12 says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country." So back to Luke 24, that's where we'll pick up the record here in Luke 24 following these other events that had taken place. So verse 12 again said, Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So we know that the other individual that came with Peter, he witnessed it, and it says he believed. Peter went out there, and he walks away with the old wheels turning, you know, as to what's going on here. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." So these are the two men that we just read about in Mark, and it says that Jesus appeared to them in another form. Talk together, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him." They didn't recognize him. Just as Mary hadn't recognized him initially when she turned around and saw him. She assumed he was the gardener. These men are walking along and they're talking about the things that have occurred. And it says Jesus himself shows up. But they didn't recognize him. Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Once again, I have another version, I think, that conveys the essence of this verse much better that I really like. Listen to this. This is the New Testament in the language of the people by Charles B. Williams. "Finally, one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who has not heard of the things that have taken place there in these last days?" Yeah. Jesus said, "Well, what things? Are you the only guy in this whole town who doesn't understand what's gone on here?" I just love that. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who has not heard of these things that have taken place in these last days?" And he said unto them, "What kind of things?" "And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." You know, it says that they conveyed the events that they were discussing that was causing sadness for them. And it says in verse 21 that we had trusted, or we were hoping. You know, their expectation was that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. That was their expectation of him, but they had not contemplated the events that took place. And then when it says this And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. In other words, 3 days have passed. This is the fourth day. I don't know, because a lot of the commentators kind of go back and forth on this as to whether they were making reference to what Jesus had said when he said about, you know, the third day I'll rise, or whether they were just simply conveying in their sadness that, you know, 3 days have already passed and, you know, nothing's happened yet. I'm not sure which, whether they were remembering what Jesus said or whether they're just simply stating the events that had occurred and, you know, this is the fourth day since all these things have transpired. Verse 22 says, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre." So these two men walking to Emmaus were among those who, when Mary and the others with her came back and told them what had transpired, they were part of that group. So they were very well aware of what had happened. "And made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." So these men are very well informed of all the things that had transpired and are conveying to Jesus what they had experienced up to this point. Then verse 25. "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You know, Jesus let them lay out all the things that were causing them sadness, that they had been considering, the things that they had experienced. And then he steps in and he reproves them. You know, he reproves them for their unbelief. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe." You may remember another record where a similar thing is spoken in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, where Paul said, "O foolish Galatians." These are the same words that Jesus used previously when he's confronting these two men on the road to Emmaus. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." While we're looking at this, look at Luke 18. Just back a couple chapters. Once again, remember, he had been telling them of these things, like that thing we read in Matthew 16. From this time forth began Jesus to relay this information to them regarding what was going to transpire. And in Luke 18, verse 31, it says, Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." You know, he had conveyed these exact same things to them already on several occasions prior to the actual events taking place. And here back in Luke 24, he reproved them in verse 25 once again and said, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" You know, ought not means, wasn't it necessary for Christ to have endured these things, to have suffered these things? It was essential that he go through this in order to redeem them. See? But they didn't make that connection. They didn't make that connection. When he talked about those things, it just sort of confused them and made them sad when he brought these things up. And yet he had prepared them and told them that the things that were written, all things that were written concerning him were going to have to take place. Was there any reference to those things in the Old Testament? Most definitely. Most definitely those things were there. You know, their focus was on the latter part of what was spoken regarding the glory aspect. The suffering aspect of them didn't make the connection in their minds that he was going to have to endure these things before the other stuff could take place. So, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, look at 1 Peter. Is it 1 Peter? Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 9, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith, or your believing, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." You know, this was something that the prophets had looked into previous. The 12 and his disciples at that time were not the first ones that weren't sure of how these two things reconciled themselves, the sufferings and the glory, how this was going to take place and how this fit in to the context of the salvation, the redemption that he was bringing. See, it says they were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, and then the words of Christ should come later, which was in them did signify of Christ when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Back in Luke 24. "So ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know, how do you deal with those who are fools or unmindful ones and slow of heart to believe? You take them to the thing they need to believe, which is the scriptures, and that's what Jesus did. You know, which, I don't know, this is easy to read, but it still just amazes me every time I look at this section and think, here's our resurrected Lord. He's accomplished everything necessary for our redemption and salvation. He said, "It is finished." And he laid down his life. And God has raised him from the dead. And when he comes and meets with those of his followers and sees their unbelief regarding the things that the Scriptures said, the thing he does is he takes the time and takes them back to the Scriptures. You know? They don't even know it's him yet. He could have said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe, it's me." But he didn't do that. He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Wasn't it essential that Christ suffer and enter into his glory? Let me show you. And so he takes them to the Word, and he takes them to the Scriptures, and he just recounts everything regarding him and what was to take place and what had taken place. That to me is just amazing, that he takes them to the Word. That was the thing that was important. They needed to understand the Scriptures so that they could believe what had transpired. And as I said, they don't know it's him yet. He's just unfolding the Scriptures to them regarding him and all the things that it says regarding him. And it says he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures. The word expounded means to fully interpret or to thoroughly explain. You know, he left no stone unturned so that they could hear and they could believe. He took them to the Scriptures and said, "Look, this is talking of the Christ. This is what he had to endure in order to do these things. It was essential that he suffer before he could enter into his glory." Verse 28 says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Quite a change from verse 16, where it says their eyes were holden, that they should not know him, or they didn't recognize him. And in verse 31, it says their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They needed to have their eyes open. You know, and the thing that transpired in between there was something very important. He taught them the Scriptures regarding all things concerning himself. Yeah. At that point, they were ready to have their eyes open. And he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened us what? The Scriptures. While He opened us the Scriptures. Opened us the Scriptures. You know, He began at Moses and He expounded unto them all things, the Scriptures concerning Himself. And their heart burned within them when those Scriptures were unfolded to them. Boy, and I pray our heart never stops burning when these Scriptures are unfolded. That we never lose our excitement and enthusiasm in seeing this Word of God come together. You know, so that we will not be, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe all that God's Word says. You know, and our Lord thought it was important enough for them to understand what was going on, that He took them to the Scriptures and showed them from the Scriptures, these are the things that it said concerning the Christ, the Messiah. He still didn't tell them it was Him. He took them to the Scriptures first, and then when their eyes were open and they recognized Him, mission accomplished. He vanished out of their sight. And boy, they said, our hearts burned within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. And then verse 33 is great. It says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know, when they were trying to get Jesus to stay with them, one of the things they told Him in verse 29, it says, it's toward evening and the day is far spent. In other words, it's getting late in the day. Why don't you just stay with us tonight? And after this whole event occurred and He vanished out of their sight and their hearts were on fire with the Word, they head back to Jerusalem. You know, the night is far spent, and that most of the versions read about that threescore furlongs in verse 13 from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about a 7-mile hike. They had already done that. They get there. It's late in the day. They're so fired up. We got to go back and tell everybody what's just transpired. So they, you know, Jesus vanishes out of their sight. They just hit the road. They're headed back to Jerusalem, you know, to convey what's going on. So, verse 33 again, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there's still a crowd gathered when they returned to Jerusalem, and their topic of conversation is interesting when these guys show up, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So when these two guys who had walked to Emmaus and Jesus had been made known to them, they're so excited they come back to tell what's going on. And when they get there and they walk in, the conversation is, He is risen. Because He appeared to Peter. This is before these guys even opened their mouths as to what had occurred to them. So at some point following Jesus' appearance to Mary and then to these two, He appeared to Peter. The Gospels don't really tell us anything about that meeting. It's mentioned here and it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul relays it, that He had appeared to Peter. But what transpired there, we really don't know. Because the Scriptures don't tell us a word about it except to make mention of it that He had appeared to Peter. So when these two guys show up, everybody's, yeah, He really is risen. Why, Peter saw Him. And then they come in and they relay what happened to them. Verse 35, and they told them what things were done in the way and how He was made known of them in the breaking of bread. Then verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them. I just think it's great when this stuff all transpires. You know, these guys, they recognize Him after He's unfolded the Scriptures to them. The things concerning Himself. And then He vanishes out of their sight. When these two get back, what are they all talking about? He is risen. He appeared to Peter. And these guys come in and say, yeah, He appeared to us too. We were just walking along. We didn't know who He was. And man, He reproved us. And then He took us to the Word and was just laying all these things out. And it was just great. Our hearts were just burning within us. And then when we were breaking bread together, we realized, oh my gosh, it's Him. And He disappeared. So they're talking about all this stuff, and then in the midst of their conversation, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Let's face it, folks, we'd be pretty shook up too. You know, if there was a crowd of 15 or 20 of us sitting in a room discussing the things that had transpired, which I'm sure, I mean, you can imagine, even knowing what the Scriptures said, it would still break your heart. What happened? You know, it would have just broke your heart. What happened? And you can understand the sadness that they had, especially since the fact that they weren't believing what the Scripture said about Him, that He was really going to get up. And so all this is transpiring, and they finally, you know, start getting it, and oh my gosh, He really did rise. He did just as He told us He was going to, and all of a sudden, there He is. You know, if 15 or 20 of you were sitting around in a room and He just popped into the middle, you might be, you know, one of those kind of deals too, right? I mean, I don't know how it happened, but I can just imagine. If He wasn't there and then He was there, you would freak out, okay? And He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Because we're people. Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. He wasn't disguised at all at this point. Okay, they could very clearly recognize who He was. And obviously He had the ability to change His appearance, so He could have them see what they, you know, He wanted them to see. And so He showed them His hands and His feet. Verse 41 says, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, so they were just, stuff just kind of going here, you know. They're excited, they're joyful, yet they're puzzled, they're, all this stuff's going on. He calms the whole thing down and says, have you any meat? Got anything to eat? Okay. And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. I love that, you know. What better thing to calm the moment than food, you know. Everybody's all excited and stirred up. Hey, you got anything to eat? Got some broiled fish here and a honeycomb if you'd like it. Verse 43, and He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. So what's He do? He takes them back to the Word. These are the things that I was telling you about. Okay? That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. You know, He brings them right back to the Word. He finally gets the whole group together, and the thing He does is He takes them back to the Scriptures, back to the Scriptures. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The word understanding and the word understand, first one is the word nous for your mind. He opened their thinking so that they could process this stuff, okay? So that they could then understand, so that it would come together for them. Because previous to this, it wasn't coming together. You know, they had these words that Jesus was speaking and the events that had taken place, and just stuff just wasn't jiving for them. Not coming together. Well, Jesus took them to the Scriptures and put it together for them so that they could understand what was transpiring. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. You know, and so it all makes sense now, right? He's taken them to the Scriptures. He showed them the things that transpired. And look, it happened just as the Scriptures said it would happen. Everything has happened just as it said they would happen. And it happened for a purpose, you know. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You know, this latter part, of course, is just a summation of things that transpired, because after He was resurrected from the dead, Acts tells us that He was with them for 40 days, right? So there was a period of time between His initial appearance to them that occurred here and the time of the ascension. So these last verses here in Luke 24 are just giving a summation of the events that eventually led to his ascension and them going back to Jerusalem as they had been told to do. But the thing that's so powerful in this section is the emphasis that our Lord and Savior puts on the Scriptures and the emphasis that God's Word puts on these events and their context in the Scriptures. That these things happen just as God said they would happen. Even though they didn't understand that. Jesus told them those things, but they didn't understand the connection with the Scriptures and the events. You know, Peter, when he's initially confronted with this, reproves Jesus for saying these things because he didn't understand, he didn't get it. And Jesus reproves him for not those two, as well as the others here, for not believing all that the prophets have spoken. See, because it's all going to happen just like it says. It all transpired. There was no mistakes. There was no, you know, nothing was out of sync with what God had said would happen concerning him, right? The suffering was essential. It was necessary in order for him to redeem them and to redeem us. It had to happen just the way he said. And of course, we know what transpired following this with the events on the day of Pentecost. Let's read that, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, Jesus had told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which you're going to receive. And that's exactly what they did. They went back. And he had told them that you're witnesses of these things. You know, and as a witness, you need to tell about these things. And a great thing that you read when Peter stands up and starts talking, he doesn't relay his personal experience. He doesn't say, you know, it was really cool. We were all in this room together and we were discussing these matters. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus right in the middle. And before that had happened, he appeared to me when I was by myself. He didn't relay any of that. What's he do? Look at verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he begins to quote the Scripture. You know, he goes on, "Ye men of Israel," in verse 22, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord." Takes him to the Scriptures. He takes him to the Scriptures. You know, and the thing I love about this is, I know I've heard it said that, well, boy, when Peter got up and spoke on the day of Pentecost, it was just straight prophecy. Well, I don't know. There may have been some revelation, or straight revelation. You know, maybe. But I'll tell you one thing. He had a fantastic teacher that spent time taking them through all the Scriptures concerning him. You know, if you had that kind of instruction, it wouldn't be hard for you to stand up and say, no, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. David said, yeah, because why? Because you'd been taught those things. And Jesus had taught them thoroughly all those things in the Scriptures concerning him. So when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, there may have been some revelation involved. But I'll tell you one thing, he had been taught. He knew what the Scriptures said because the master teacher had taught him what the Scriptures said. He knew the references regarding Christ in the Old Testament and how to convey those truths because he had been taught by the Master himself all those things concerning him. So when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and taught, he had an arsenal of the Scriptures in his heart because he had been taught those things by Jesus Christ himself. Look over in chapter 3 of Acts. You know, and you see this in all these different records in the book of Acts. In chapter 3, Verse 13, it says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given them this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." No question in Peter's mind anymore, is there? No confusion in Peter's mind anymore about those things. He knew what the Scripture said, and he knew what Jesus had done, and what Jesus had done was exactly according to what the Scriptures had said, and that's what he's conveying to these people now. I just love this, that he takes them to the Scriptures. He speaks of the Scriptures. He's not talking about his personal experience, which he had a lot of personal experience, as did all of them. That would be an event that would be a topic of conversation if you were sitting around with people and Jesus had appeared to you. You know, but that's not what they went out and talked about. Yes, they were witnesses, but they witnessed to him from the Scriptures. That's what they did. They spoke of him from the Scriptures. "But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto your fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." You know, he just takes him to the Scriptures and makes known, look, this is what all the prophets from Samuel forward have all talked about. This is what Moses talked about. You know, he just takes them to the Scriptures regarding those things, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just, Paul talks about the treasure that he had in an earthen vessel, and that treasure was the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. You know, you see the great importance and significance that Jesus Christ himself placed on the Scriptures and on believing the Scriptures. And when his followers didn't believe the Scriptures, he didn't try gimmicks or anything else to get them to that point. He took them to the Scriptures and unfolded the Scriptures to them that then they could see and then they could believe. You know, he took them from eyes that were holden to eyes that were open. You know, and with us, what did Paul pray for us in Ephesians? Well, let's look at it. Ephesians, not one of the things he prayed for concerning the church. Chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding or your heart being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. You know, it's still essential that our eyes be opened when it comes to the Scriptures. And there certainly is a revealing and opening that needs to happen in the hearts and lives of men and women and of us. And the only way that's going to happen is if we continue to have that kind of humility to God's Word and that kind of reverence so that He can continue to open these things to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be foolish and slow of heart to believe all that God's Word has said. You know, because just as Jesus Christ made known to them, everything happened just like God said it would. His suffering was not an accident. It was not a mistake. It was part of what had to take place in order for God to fulfill His plan for our redemption and salvation. And you know what? Everything God has said in His Word about us is just as true. And everything that God says about our future is just as true. It's going to happen just like He said it's going to happen. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the way it's going to be. So why don't we believe all that God has said in His Word? Amen? Wayne, what are we closing with?
84. Oh, that will be glory.
Amen.
Number 84 in your songbooks. Oh, that will be glory.
Bless everyone.